world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Ooh. Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, thanks for joining us here on October 29th, 2025, for show number 2527. Appreciate you guys all getting, yeah, it's like a, what was it, your healthy radio addiction? What's her name? Isn't that what she called it? I don't know about you. It's not an addiction, but man, this hour, sometimes hour and a half that we spend is central to my life now. I don't know about you guys. And it sets me sometimes in a direction. I spend all day. Sometimes when I get done here, sometimes I go and do some more. Say, man, I got to check on that. I got to look that up. And I just want to encourage all of you that many of you have inspired me to look at things that I never would have looked at. And the truth of it is, raise your hand, figuratively, if you would admit that you've been in church your whole life and they ain't taught you nothing. Huh? Come on. Just platitudes. That's all they, huh? That's it. Just a form of godliness denying the power thereof. And you know, as we raising your hands. Thanks, folks. And look, it doesn't make me a better Christian than anybody else. That's not even the point. It's not even the point. But you know, some of us are playing in the NFL, and some people are still playing Biddy. And some of them are sitting in the stands. They ain't playing at all. I'm going to dive into some stuff because, look, I want you to know out there, folks, we need you. We need you this weekend. And when we get done this weekend, I'll be able to share with you exactly what it is that we've done. Okay. And I trust everyone out there that's watching, but I don't trust the enemy. The ones that have infiltrated, ones that are watching the video, I don't trust the devil. And so we don't want to expose the game plan before we've played the game. And we'll show you the game films after we're done. Y'all with me on that? But I do tell you this. We covet your prayers, man. I think what we are doing, getting ready to do, is some of the greatest spiritual warfare of my life. And I think maybe of other people that are involved with it too. And I just want to tip my hat. Should I do that yet, Lord? I'm going to tip my hat to, I'm going to save it. The ones who've done the background information that we have on the initiative that we're going to launch. I'll be able to share that with you next week. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And, you know, the Bible says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And most of us, if it gets a little bit deep, or if it gets to the point where it requires something out of us, most people step aside. Most people don't want to deal with it. So I appreciate to all of you out there who are doing your own ministries, whatever that means, because we're all called to ministry. We all have something we're supposed to do. And I just want to encourage you that there's going to be a lot of people around you. They're going to tell you you're nuts. That's okay. That's all right. Just keep pressing. Just keep pressing forward. Because they don't know what you know. And I didn't know what I know 5 years ago. I didn't know what I know a year ago. And so I don't get mad at people because they don't know. I get mad at people because they don't want to know. That'd be a thumbs up. They don't want to know. And it's great because as I look out here and I look at the list of names out there, a lot of people out there want to know. And you can take what we say with a grain of salt. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to follow it. But I know when I lay my head on my pillow at night, I told you, I warned you, I showed you. And then you have to do with it yourself. Let the Holy Spirit, Bible says the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. This Holy Spirit will. And if you wonder if something's true or something's not true, take it to the Holy Spirit. You have that witness of the Holy Spirit, the amen of the Holy Spirit. That's the way I try to live my life. And then sometimes I have to say this, that's not my area. It's funny, I see Mark Trump's got his hand raised. I'm going to bring you in here a second, Mark, just as an illustration. Mark's in a different realm. Come on now. A different realm of understanding from what I have. And it's not that I don't think what Mark is doing is important. It's not on my plate. Thank God it's on Mark's plate. Thank God it's on Craig's plate. Thank God Dr. Paul knows stuff that the rest of us don't know. But none of us can know it all. That's why we're a body fitly joined together, right? And if you think about the local church where you go, are you a body fitly joined together? Or are you just a conglomerate of people who come together and one guy stands up in front of you and tells you what the Bible says? And that's kind of where we are. So I'm going to let Mark in here real quick. Come on in, Mark.
Yeah, I'm wondering, when did people like being around John off in the wilderness? When did they like being around Enoch? Remember, he'd go away for 100 years and they'd have to go get him. But they didn't want to hear what he had to say when they were at the peak of their comfort.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right, brother. And Mark, is even more so today, is it not? Is it not? And
amen. Look,
folks, the truth does two things. It makes you uncomfortable. And ultimately, it sets you free. But you have got to get to that point. What is that called? Dissonance. You have to get through that cognitive dissonance where new information comes and you immediately say, that can't be true. My whole life, I've never believed that. You have to get through that. If you can't fight through that cognitive dissonance, you're not going to be set free.
Amen.
I don't know it all, but I know some of it. All right. So let's launch where we're going to. I'm telling you, folks, I don't know about you guys. I've been on a fast. I just broke a 3-day fast yesterday. It's one of the things on this initiative that we're going on that was one of the things we were supposed to be doing. Everybody's supposed to. Now, whether you have out there or not, the guys that are gone, whether you have or not, we'll start now. I just came off a 3-day fast yesterday. And Bible says that this kind, whatever that means, this kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. Spencer, see if you can find that real quick. This kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. Now, there's two words. Spencer finds that. There's two words in there that you can read. Yeah, look. There's two words you can read in there that you can miss. However, this kind, Jesus is talking about casting out devils. Spencer's getting it up there for it. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. And then they came to Jesus and said, how come we couldn't do that? How come we couldn't do that? Jesus said, first of all, cause you unbelief. Wow. For verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, move hence, and it shall remove. However, he said, this kind, this kind goeth out not but by prayer and fasting. Question for you. How many of you apply that right there to the very spiritual warfare in your own life? And do you realize that there are different kinds? There's different kinds. And some of them you ain't ever going to get out. Some of the things that you're dealing with. How many of you fast regularly or occasionally for an issue, for a family member, for a situation where you're getting demonic opposition to it? Jesus himself said, dude, only through prayer and fasting is this going to come out. It's the only way that you get authority of it. And the only reason I can say that, look, you don't fast to get brownie points with God, okay? You don't do that. But fasting, your desire to feed your natural man overpowers your spiritual authority. And when you fast, you get a spiritual, what's it, energy that you don't get in any other way. When you get that spiritual energy, power, call it whatever you want to. You can cast stuff out. We don't even believe in casting out devils anymore. And remember this, you fast not to change God, to change you, to sharpen you. So that's why when we're getting ready to go on this initiative, we're going to read Proverbs 29 here in a second. Hang on. When you go on that initiative, when you go with prayer and fasting, I want to say this in a way that I don't know how else you say it. What physically came out of my system in the last 72 hours because of fasting is unbelievable. The cleansing that takes place in your system as a result of prayer and fasting. My friends, if that does that to you physically, what must it be doing to us spiritually? When you deny yourself the very sustenance of life, food, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am. And I understand some of you with medical conditions maybe say, well, coach, I can't fast. Well, I believe you can. I believe it's a lie from the devil that you can't fast because it's a supernatural gift. The Lord will grace you to fast. And it doesn't have anything to do with how long you do it. It's your obedience to do it. Whether it be one meal, whether it be two meals, whether it be a day, whether it be 3 days, whether it be 40 days. This kind comes out only with prayer and fasting. So the current action we're on, click on that real quickly here. Current action, Liberty Action Network. Thank God for Mel. So you want to talk about answering the call? I don't even know how I met Mel. Liberty Mel. I don't even know. I mean, I do, but I don't really know how. And she comes in and all of a sudden she's just kind of out there wandering in the desert. And she wants to be a doer. She doesn't know what to do. She wants to be a doer. So she started the Liberty Action Network. And she's a doer. She keeps us on target. See, I don't have time to do that. That's not my gift. But this Mel's gift. She serves the Lord through Liberty Action Network, keeping us updated on what's going on. That's why you need to share this with more people. So the current action, scroll on down there. If you can, Spencer, so we can read it real quickly. Okay, 10 days of prayer and intercession to bring light and discernment during this time of darkness and death. You ain't going to believe what we're going to do this weekend. Can't wait to tell you, okay? So we thank you for many of you out there. It's Halloween season, old Hallows Eve. And Craig, what was it you sent me today? Today is the anniversary. Yesterday. Oh, I can't. Craig, don't say it because I'm not allowed to say it yet about our initiative. What happened? Oh, this is so cool. This is so cool. So we've been reading different proverbs for every day. Today is the 29th, and we're going to read the 29th, Proverbs 29 today. There's the list of what we're doing. Wednesday, October 29th, Proverb 29. Okay, I'm going to read it. I often let people in, but I'm going to read it. Okay, here we go. King James Version. Craig says, Coach, you can put the King James Version up there. It makes it a little easier for people. And I don't know about you guys. Sometimes I'll read it in the Message Bible. Sometimes I'll read it in the New Living Translation because it ruminates in me. Say, oh, that's what it means. Oh, that's what
I was saying. The New King James, Coach. It's just a little easier. That's all.
Yeah, I said New King James. Isn't that what? Put the New King James. There we go. There you go. It's just easier for us to understand. He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. People warn you, and you're just going to keep on doing it. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, and when the wicked man rules, the people groan. A whole lot of groaning going on out there. Would you agree with me today? A whole lot of groaning going on? Yeah. Whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice, but a companion of harlots wastes his father's wealth. Wow. I put father in there. The king establishes the land by justice, but he who receives bribes overthrows it. Those are called congressmen and senators and elected officials. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. Why? Because your friends love to be snapped. They love to be flattered, and you can build a relationship with them. And then they step into your net. But transgressions, an evil man is by transgression, an evil man is snared. But the righteous sings and rejoices. The righteous consider the cause of the poor, but the wicked does not understand such knowledge. Scoffers set a city aflame, but wise men turn away wrath. The wise man contends with a foolish man. Whether the fool rages or laughs, there is no peace. You wouldn't believe some of the emails back and forth. And I said, dude, I'm done. You don't get it. Your mind is set. It's cognitive dissonance. There's no peace in it. The bloodthirsty hate the blameless. Wow. But the upright seek the well-being of the blameless. That's what J6 is all about, in my opinion. Can I paraphrase that? The bloodthirsty hate the J6ers. But the upright will do the best we can to help them. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Do you ever hear somebody say he keeps his cards close? Keeps his cards close. That's what we're doing today. We're keeping our cards close. If a ruler pays attention to lies, all his servants become wicked. Friends, how can there not be a God who wrote this? Huh? The poor man and the oppressor have this in common. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both of them. The king who judges the poor with truth, his throne will be established forever. When we get to the point where we take care of people, regardless of what they can do in return for us, that's when Christ is most alive. When you help those who can never repay you. And most of us won't go there. Most of us won't go help people if we're not getting something in return. The rod and the rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mommy. When the wicked are multiplied in Congress, transgression increases, but the righteous will see their fall. Hey, Paul, give me a thumbs up on that one. The righteous, we're going to see their fall, folks. We're going to see it. Correct your son, and he'll give you rest. Yep, he will give delight to your soul. How many of you wish you could go back 30 years and correct your son? Well, there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. A servant will not be corrected by mere words. But though he understands, he's not going to respond just to real words. I can say to my granddaughter, sit down and be quiet, or I can spank her on the butt. Then she'll respond. Do you see a man hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for a man. A guy who speaks before he thinks. He who pampers his servant from childhood will have him as a son in the end. Angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. We got a lot of angry people, certainly on the left, because they don't have the restraining of the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of furious people on our side, too. By the way, justifiably, maybe. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Whoever is partnered with a thief hates his own life. He swears to tell the truth, but reveals nothing. Swears to tell the truth, but don't say anything when he sees lies. Oh boy, the fear of man is a trap, brings a snare. But whosoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. So some of the issues that we want to get into here on Coach Dave Live, the fear of the man could stop us. If I go talk about this, too bad, man. See ya. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. Wow. An unjust man is an abomination to the righteous. Government closed down. It's an abomination to the righteous. Well, not totally. It's an abomination to the righteous that our government is so wicked. And he who is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. This is so good. The wicked hate anybody who's telling the truth. You see it? He who is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. Dr. Paul, come on in.
You know, it also says very complicated things like don't take joy in when these people are being destroyed, our enemies are being destroyed.
That's right.
And so, you know, it's hard to be a Christian coach.
It is.
The one thing that most people here understand is this concept of the Dunning-Kruger, you know, this idea that the more we know, the more we realize we don't have a clue about what's going on, coach.
No, we don't.
So stay humble, brothers. Stay humble.
Hey, folks, that's why, listen, friends, I believe in the spiritual. I got to tell you, I didn't always. When I got to know Russ Dizdar and Tom Dunn, began to hang around some of these guys who are actually doing spiritual warfare. Then I began, it's been a journey for me. Then I began to, excuse me, the hiccups. Then I began to see that the spiritual realm is real. It's very, very real. And that most of modern Christianity in particular doesn't go very deep in spiritual warfare, spiritual understanding. We don't go very, very deep on it. Now, I want to help some of you out here real quickly. Oh, I got some good stuff here. Pull up for me, if you could, Chuck Missler. That's the second thing. I didn't put a number on it. Friends, look, it's an hour and 9 minutes. Okay, I'm not going to play this. I'm going to play a couple minutes of it. If you want to understand biblical angels and what's going on, take time to watch this video from Chuck Missler. Put it in the chat so they can follow. Just play a couple minutes of it, if you will.
Well, welcome to our second session as we explore the realm of angels. And in the previous section, we talked about the realm in general, and we highlighted what we call the Berean Challenge. And that's to, first of all, set aside our misconceptions. You know, all of us inherently have perceptions coming from fiction, from tradition.
Freeze it a minute. Okay, I'll give somebody out there $100. Don't lie. Raise your hand. The last sermon you heard about angels and demons. An exhaustive study teaching you about angels and demons. Right? Good. Good. Nobody. That's what I thought. Nobody. Ever. Go play a couple more minutes. This is 2012.
Literature about angels. And so a part of our problem in taking a subject like this is to set aside our misconceptions about our physical reality. Most of us have been substantially mistaught by the misguided programs in schools. We haven't taken advantage of the advances of science, where we've learned a great deal, some shocking things, about the reality of what we call our reality, our physical reality. And we covered some of that in the first session to try to set a groundwork against which to try to understand this strange world that I call the metacosm, that world which is beyond the specific boundaries of the reality that we experience.
Wow, okay, so put it in the chat.
We're now going
put
to in this chat. Session.
Hey, friends, look, I one of the things that I hope for is that when this show is over, you on your own want to deepen your own theological understanding. I can't give it to you all. In fact, I don't even know it all. I need to sit down and watch this hour and however long of Chuck Missler. I need to do it to have a greater understanding. Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And they never teach us what that means. Huh? Come on, have I been taught? No, of course not. Oh, my goodness. I got so much stuff this morning. Bring up another number 11 and put this in. I'm going to open it up here in a second. Bring up number 11 because this one is powerful as well. Book number 11, Spencer. And then put it in the chat. This was, you were never supposed to see these fallen angels. This is an unbelievable, unbelievable analysis of the book of Enoch, which is not in the Bible. We talked about that yesterday, about what the book of Enoch teaches us about fallen angels. Now, if you're one of those who says, Coach, that's extra biblical, and I don't want to, okay, that's fine. I understand that. But if you want to understand a little bit more of the book of Enoch, which might give you a greater understanding, maybe it's not canon, maybe it's not established, but give you a greater understanding, play a couple minutes of this.
Of people claim that this book should never have been banned from the Bible, whilst others claim it should never be opened again. So who's actually right? Well, before I give you my controversial answer, first, let's investigate. What is the Book of Enoch all about? 365 is how many days there are in a year, and at the end of those days, we get a new beginning. Well, so it was with Enoch. He lived 365 years, and then after that, he got his new beginning, because he was taken up to be with the Lord. And no Christian will ever dispute this fact with you, but the Book of Enoch goes into exceptional detail of what happened once Enoch was taken up. And know this, as I share this information, remember, I'm not sharing this as total fact. I'm just repeating the information from the Book of Enoch. It was an ordinary night, just like any other, when a bright ball of light appeared above Enoch's village. All the villagers were afraid, but Enoch wasn't. And suddenly, he found himself being carried up to heaven by an angel called Uriel. Whilst in heaven, the Book of Enoch states that God told Enoch to scribe and to write down all of these important things that he was about to be shown. He was shown the mountains, he saw all the rivers of the world, and then the angel Uriel took Enoch on a tour of the universe. He saw how celestial beings could be transported.
Okay,
he sees the solar system.
Come on, you gotta do your own homework. Hey, folks, Enoch was so righteous, he never died. Huh? He was translated, whatever that is. So are we to believe that Enoch was telling us a bunch of lies and then God took him to heaven without dying? Come on, come on. So again, just give you a greater understanding of what's going on. What it is that we're dealing with. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let me say it again. We covet your prayers this weekend. We covet it, especially on Friday. Friday is when we're going to really, really going to be active with it. We covet your prayers. Covet your prayers. Pull up number 9. And this is good. And then I'm going to open it up here. This is so good. This is the human nature. Every boy is born with two dogs. Go ahead.
Born with two dogs, invisible but real as your heartbeat, violence and lust. When you're young, they're puppies, manageable. When you hit puberty, they become wolves, chained to your wrists, one on each side, pulling you towards destruction. The violence dog yanks you towards rage when you're disrespected, towards fists when words would work, towards domination when partnership is needed. The lust dogs pulls you towards every woman who isn't yours, towards instant gratification over lasting love, towards taking what isn't offered. Most boys think that becoming a man means letting their dogs run free. I'm a man, I do what I want. No, that's not a man, that's an animal with a credit card. A gentleman, he's mastered his dogs. When his wife frustrates him, violence sits. When his neighbor's wife smiles at him, lust heals. When his children defy him, violence stays down. When temptation whispers, lust doesn't move. Not because the dogs are gone, they're never gone. Not because he's weak, it takes infinite strength. But because he's decided, I control them, they don't control me. Every man who hits his wife, his violence dog is off the leash. Every man who cheats, his lust dog is running wild. Every man who destroys his family, he never learned to hold the leash. Here's what I tell my sons. Those urges you feel, that rage, that hunger, those are your dogs. Every man has them. Your grandfather had them. I have them. The difference between a gentleman and an animal, a gentleman keeps his dogs on a short leash, always. And when you master this, when you truly master this, something beautiful happens. Violence becomes protection, the power to defend, not destroy. Lust becomes passion, the fire for one woman, not every woman. Your dogs become your strength, not your shame. But only if you're strong enough to be their master. Because here's the truth that should terrify every father. Between 16 and 20, those chains get cut. The dogs are no longer leashed to you. If you haven't learned to control them by then, you'll spend your whole life being controlled by them, destroying relationships, traumatizing children, leaving wreckage, blaming everyone but yourself. You're born with two.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Oh, my goodness. We covet your prayers this week, and I'm opening it up. Come on in. Somebody, come on in. Look, I can't tell you yet, okay? I can't tell you what we're going to do yet. I just can't. Dave, Allison, or Sherry, come on. Hey, Dave, I want you to know something. My wife mentioned you this morning, and Michelle has been praying. She's had an urge to pray for Dave and Sherry Allison. I just want you to know that, brother. My wife's got you guys covered today.
Well, praise Lord for that.
Thank you.
That was a powerful message right there that we just got.
The analogy is awesome.
As we've been speaking this morning, and you just read about the fact that we don't fight against flesh and blood, except for, in my opinion, our own. We fight against our own flesh and blood. And it's interesting, Coach, you talked about fasting. What was the thing that got man in trouble to begin with?
Food.
Eating.
One dead apple, didn't he?
So when we fast, we bring the flesh in, you know, into submission. I think that's the powerful thing that we learned to bring the flesh into submission.
Those dogs, so right? Those dogs.
Yeah,
those dogs.
So we can hear from the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Thanks for letting me share.
Amen. 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 Hey, Craig. Dave and Sherry. Whatever you're going through, the Lord's faithful. Keep your hand to the plow. And don't look back. The Lord's faithful. I don't know what that is. I don't have any private inside information.
Amen. Amen, Coach.
Thank you.
God's faithful. And boy, don't look back. If you start looking back, you'll let the dogs loose.
Don't let the dogs out.
Don't let the dogs out, because if you look back, them dogs will come and they'll devour you.
Hey, whoever puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy for the kingdom. Get it and run with it, baby. And if you have to change direction, keep your hand on the plow. You keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Quit looking back at missed opportunities, things we could have done, things we should have done, and then they can do about it. Put your hand on the plow. What are you going to do about it now? What are you going to do about it now? Craig, come on in.
Well, this has to do with guardian angels, and I was putting that in the chat, and Beth was saying, yeah, she believes in it too. So before yesterday's show, before you even got into that, Coach, right, I had a birthday this weekend, talked to my brother, and I just, you know, got up, and I was just praying for him. I mean, he's so intelligent. He's stupid because he can't see the Lord. He has to see it in a mathematical equation, and that hasn't happened for him yet. But I was just thinking, and the Lord just put, I mean, I almost started weeping, and I was like, I remember when we were younger, you know, because I don't talk to my brother a lot, you know, maybe three times a year. He lives in Texas. And we had, my dad, we were living in Fort Leavenworth, where I was born, in Kansas, and we were watching this person's dog. Well, my sister was like 12. I was like three or so. And she had that high intensity lamps that you used to be able to get. And she loved to read at night, and she fell asleep with it in her mattress. Right. And so my brother, you know, got up at night, he heard the dog barking, which isn't our dog. Okay, we were just watching it. And he smells it and he goes, oh man, that dog crapped, right? So he gets up out of his bed and finds my sister's mattress on fire. And the Lord just told me, he said, you know what? I had a guardian angel over you when you were young because I had plans for you. And that was before your show yesterday.
Wow.
I mean, what's the chances of you watching a dog for someone else and your older sister's mattress catching on fire to a high intensity lamp and your brother wakes up and thinks that the dog crap because he wouldn't have put the connection together. He would have probably went back to bed.
Amen. See, that's
that was before smoke detectors, Coach. We didn't have smoke detectors in 63.
That's that spiritual realm that we don't understand, right? Really, that's what it's all about. Bonnie, come on in, Bonnie. Bonnie, you have to unmute. Oop, we lost her. Call back, Bonnie. We love first timers. Call back here and we'll get you back in. Somebody else, come on in. Come on. Speak now or forever. Hold your peace.
Coach, I want to say that I just was sitting here thinking about what we're saying and it hit me. Now, you all judge this, but this is what hit me, Coach. When was the sin of Adam and Eve, was it in the garden? They were walking with God. Okay, God was there. Okay, was their sin just random, or was it the sin of, they were tricked and all that? Or was it disobedience to God's word? Because why would he put that tree there in the midst of the garden? And he said, don't eat of that one. You can eat all these. And then they were eating of the tree of life, which is God's tree, his kingdom, I believe. And what they ate of the tree, he said, do not eat of. So in other words, they disobeyed God. Isn't that the sin every time? Jesus never did disobey the Father, Coach. He said, I live to do the Father's will. I will not do anything I don't hear him say. In other words, he chose to obey God and do what he said.
It wasn't about the
Bible, Coach. Isn't that all what the Bible stands for? And everything, Holy Spirit is God's voice. Isn't that what creates sin is not being in obedience to God and his word?
Let me give you a great example.
It's pretty simple.
Let me give you a great example. And I'm not going to use names here. My wife, just this morning, she said, so-and-so, yada, yada, yada. They're going to be trick-or-treating. It was trick-or-treating going to go on. Should we give out candy? No, I stopped. I'm stopping now because I stopped then. Should we give out candy? And I said to her, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Thank you, dear. She yelled down at me. Was that the look? Yeah, was that the place where she goes? She was asking, should she be part of handing out trick? Not here. Not in our house. We're out in the country. People aren't coming here anyway. Should we be part of it? Pardon me? Yeah, see where she's going to go to hand out candy to preschoolers. Well, why wouldn't we be nice and go along and just bless them and be part of it? Well, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Is it possible that as we give out candy to these little preschoolers, that they'll learn to love Halloween and look forward to every year, and it'll get deeper and deeper and more? I don't know. At the same time, we don't want to be bah humbugged everything, do we? Want to be bah? Say, oh wow, it's harmless. Oh, is it? Is Halloween harmless? Oh, I know what. Let's not call it Halloween. Could we come up with another name? Trunk or treat. Yeah, that's like calling rape sex. I'm going to say that again. Calling it trunk or treat is like calling rape sex. Come on in, Ray.
Boom. Boom, there's a boom, buddy. We have over 1,000 show up on, wait, you know where our ministry is? It's right down on Main Street.
Yes,
and they block 14 streets all the way. Over 1,000 children showing up.
There's they block off 14 streets.
Yep. And back to, I mean, they're like sardines on both sides of the road going to all the businesses. Here, we just finished making these up. I got 200 more to make up. Making up close to 1,000 of these packets. No candy in here. We don't sugarcoat the gospel. It's a good, are you a good person track, a bracelet, that they're getting these packets. Last year we did this, and also I got Craig's sign out there and these placards. And for the adults, they get Romans and Acts Bible with Craig's insert, and these go to the adults. That's how you celebrate Halloween.
Huh? Hey, Ray. Jeez, where'd you go to Bible school, Ray? What seminary did you go to, Ray?
The Coach Hard Knock School.
Come on, Ray. Don't you want to be relevant to your community? Come on, Ray.
Hey, they're starting to know my name.
The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate.
Right.
And touch not the unclean thing. Do we still believe in that? Still believe in that?
That's right.
Amen. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, I'll share this. Mary Jane used to love Halloween. I mean, she loved
it. I did too. Who didn't? Yeah. I did too.
Yeah. She had down in the basement, you know, big totes you have, like the huge totes. She had down there stacked up probably 12, 14 totes. There was Christmas stuff in about 8 or 9 of them, but probably 4 or 5 big totes of Halloween stuff. She'd decorate the whole, some stuff on the deck, but it was mostly all through the house, up the stair rails, lights, orange lights, and stuff everywhere. Yep. Goofy Halloween stuff. I mean, she literally loved it. About 10 years ago, we started having a good conversation with Pastor Bill about it. And I mean, it was rough, but Mary Jane trashed all that crap.
Wow, good for her.
Trashed it. I mean, it about killed her. She was so, in the first year or two, she was like you just killed a little kid's puppy. But now she sees it and understands. Now she don't want nothing to do with it. But, man, it was tough getting her to destroy all them totes. We burned them in the fire down the river.
Yeah, man, I get it, buddy. I get it. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Oh, I'm going to shift gears here on a minute. I'm going to get Adam in here and then Jeff, and I'm switching gears because I got to get this to you. Go ahead, Jeff. You can come back in if you want. Or Adam, you can come back. Go ahead, Jeff. Come on in.
I hate Halloween. And the reason I do is because it offends my spirit. And it offends my spirit because it offends God.
Amen. It's a celebration of death and wickedness any way you come. It's a, well, we've been there, okay? Again, so folks, you understand this, that to all your friends and neighbors, you'll look legalistic and not loving. You got to understand that, right? But remember, you do it to serve two nail-scarred hands. That's why you do it. Adam, did you want to get back in here, brother? I didn't mean to. I don't know whether you cut it off. Okay, it was an accident.
No, you're good, Coach. That was an accident. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay, I want to show you some stuff here real quick. I want to switch gears if I can. Some stuff I think it's important that we understand. Pull up Trump names Obama. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. Here are the clash, folks. Will they arrest Obama? Here's what this is from the mouth of the President of the United States. Go ahead.
President Obama absolutely called Tulsi Gabbard what they did to this country in 2016, starting in 2016, but going up all the way, going up to 2020 in the election. They tried to rig the election and they got caught, and there should be very severe consequences for that. You know, when we caught Hillary Clinton, I said, you know what, let's not go too far here. It's the ex-wife of a president, and I thought it was sort of terrible, and I let her off the hook, and I'm very happy I did. But it's time to start after what they did to me, and whether it's right or wrong, it's time to go after people. Obama's been caught directly. So people say, oh, you know, a group. It's not a group. It's Obama. His orders are on the paper. The papers are signed. The papers came right out of their office. They sent everything to be highly classified. Well, the highly classified has been released. And what they did in 2016 and in 2020 is very criminal. It's criminal at the highest level. So that's really the things you should be talking about. I know nothing about the other, but I think it's appropriate that they do go.
May I ask you about that, Mr. President? Tulsi Gabbard has
okay, you can stop right there. Folks, you talk about a truth bomb, huh? What? Oh, yeah, it started with Obama. It started with a fake birth certificate, right? Right? Poor old Sheriff Joe Arpaio. We let that Muslim freak. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He opened up the door to Islam. Just came back from Minnesota, right? Where Minneapolis and St. Paul are being taken over by the Muslims. It all goes back, folks. It all goes back to that non-American citizen who became president of the United States. He was not a natural-born American citizen. Right? Wow. I got another one I got to show you. Hang on. Let me find it. Are you sitting down? Remember Jesse Ventura? Jesse the Body Ventura. He became governor, didn't he, at one point? He became governor. I want you to watch this. This aired in 2012 on, what was that show? I can't remember. It used to go down into the, well, you'll know what it is. Jesse Ventura, before he became governor, hosted a show. Anybody out there remember the name of that show that Jesse Ventura used to host? It doesn't matter. Watch this. 2012. Go ahead.
To show you. Okay, just know that this clip that I'm about to show you was aired 8 years before COVID. Check this out.
Do not feel safe living in the United States.
Really? Do you want to come in and sit down?
I'd rather not.
You'd rather just be here so you can make a fast exit if you have
to. As soon as you and I finish,
you're out
I'm leaving the country again. Why? Because in a very short time, not today, not tomorrow, but very soon, we'll be facing compulsory vaccination under the mistaken term of voluntary vaccination.
Now, what is it about these vaccinations? You think that they're bad?
Well, first of all, let's start with the fact that the World Health Organization has decided that we have 90% too many people. The World Health Organization has been working since 1974 on vaccines to create permanent sterility.
Doctor, the response is going to be, you're crazy. How can you say this stuff?
They will induce a pandemic. You're going to get the flu. Everybody around us is going to get the flu. Then the United States government, based on their statements that they've already made, will say, oh, my, we have a pandemic. What that means is a Holocaust, a genocidal Holocaust. Men and women will sicken and die, and those who survive will be infertile. Let me tell you a story. In 2003, I had a patient in my drug-free medical practice who was a head of state. And one day she said, you know, it's almost time for the great culling to begin.
The what?
That's what I said. The what? She said the great culling, C-U-L-L-I-N-G, when you thin the herd. I said, what are you talking about? She said, it's almost time for the useless eaters to be culled. And she said, those are the people who are consuming our non-renewable natural resources. I said, who are the people who make this decision? She said, we, the aristocrats.
This person you talk to, you're bound because you're a physician and there's the relationship that you can't talk. Is this person a member of the Bilderbergs?
She is not Queen Beatrice. She is not the Queen of England. She is not Henry Kissinger. But she certainly presented herself as a member of that power elite, and she certainly was a head of state.
Okay, just know.
2012, folks. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. By the way, that's why we're making our trip this weekend. Joe Allen, come on in.
Well, we have Dr. Sherry Timping that has been talking about this.
And Gary Madej and Paul Goslin, yes.
And as Hillary Clinton calls us, the deplorables.
That's right.
Thus said.
What she said, basket full of deplorables. And by the way, what's going on in St. Paul, Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota, call to prayer, Muslims taking over. What? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't have to believe it. Sorry, you don't have to believe it. Johnny, come on in.
Good morning, Coach. I believe that show was called Conspiracy Theory.
Thank you. Conspiracy Theory. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. 2012. They told us exactly what was going to happen. Exactly. Randy.
Coach, I really believe this. What that lady was talking about, and I don't remember her, but you can tell she's not one of them. But you notice the calling. Coach, looking back, did the Georgia Guidestones have something to do with this whole pandemic and the calling thing? I believe it did, Coach. Now, we was there in 11/11/2020, and I now remember what I spoke and what I did and what we did there, and we said it's down, it's over right then. Okay,
we broke its power.
20 months later, it's gone, Coach. Their spellbinding frequency tower is gone. Did Coach, are we starting to learn their inside information by the spirit? And our coach, are we going now and stopping some of their plans and their tracks? I think we are, coach.
I think we're cutting communication lines for sure, Randy. I believe we are. And I'm going to tell you this thing going on this weekend is a big one. It's big, folks. I'm not trying to juice it, make it any bigger than it is.
I'm glad you feel that way, Coach, because I've spent about 2 months on this thing getting prepared for it, and it is big.
Randy, I can't wait till we are able to show the people exactly. I mean, what the research you've done, dude, is unbelievable. Hey, Randy, let me ask you something, buddy. What would you be doing if you hadn't logged on to Coach Dave Live?
Coach, it was God. It's just a God thing. And I don't know. I probably would just be, I would be probably a good Christian somewhere, but I don't think I would be the doer. And this platform has changed my life, Coach.
Amen.
It has.
Amen. And so you don't just go to potlucks at church anymore, do you, Randy? No. And amen. Kind of got beyond that. Men's breakfast on Saturday mornings.
Coach, I was like a lot of people. I was outside the box, okay? I was not in the system. I was not plugged into it. But yet I was outside. I was still looking for some way to be the church, to do something. And the timing was so amazing, Coach. It's been 7 years in a few days. It'll be 7 years since I've come in with you and come alongside. And I don't know, Coach. I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful. So thankful.
Amen. Amen. Me too. I'm glad you're here, brother. George, come on in.
Like Judas talked about in the past, and I've kind of brought it up a little bit too, but the Council of 300. Council of 300 makes a lot of the global decisions, and that's where the elite are at. And then the other thing is, I saw this video way back when. I've known about this for a long time. And then also with Alex Jones, and then with Jesse, with following this stuff way back when, the writing was on the wall. They tell you everything. You just have to read between the tea leaves, as they say.
Right. We have to have the understanding of what's going on, right? The understanding. And folks, look, this would be a really good idea. Some of you also be staking this weekend. What we are doing, we're staking something, someplace. It would behoove us all if you guys did that as well this weekend, whether it be churches, whether it be city councils, whatever it be, find some place where you know evil is operating and stone it. Joshua 1:3, put it on a stone and go out and gather. That this is a This is a confluence of power. I can't wait to tell you what Randy has discovered, the research he has done, and what we're going to apply this weekend. I'm not trying to hype it. I know it's big, man. I know it's big. And I'll explain more on Monday. Craig, come on in.
I want to go back to what you were saying about the, you know, the Muslim is immigration. Okay. When did the, I mean, there's always been Muslims moving, but when did it take off? Well, that would have been around 2010. I put this in the chat. What was it called? Arab Spring. Okay. What was coming to all these countries that were kind of operating okay? Democracy. All right. Well, let's back up a little bit. Who was supposed to be the next president, female president in 2008? Hillary. Who came along? Barack. So what was the deal? You get to be in charge of the State Department. That'd be Hillary Clinton, right?
That'd be so right.
What would the State Department do if there was a long-term plan? Well, you create a lot of democracy in a lot of these Arab countries, get all this chaos there, and guess what? Get people to move out. They just want to live their lives. So they get to go to Europe. They get to go to America. Okay. That's what Benghazi was all about.
Mm.
Okay. And so this was a you know, whether it was contrived by them purposely, which I probably think it has a little bit to do with that, or spiritually, that was the effect. And then when did the Syrian war start? Right around that time. Look at how many people left Syria. I mean, would you stay in Syria? I wouldn't. So where do these people have to go? Guess what? They get to go into all these Western European and United States, and then get what? They get to have 7 to 8 to 10 babies, and they overtake over time. They have,
you mean while we're doing abortions, they're having children, you mean?
Right. They have a long-term strategy. We have very short-term strategies.
Hmm.
But this is why you're seeing this. And what's it going to be? That's Albert Pike's thing. He wants a third world war between Christians, Muslims, and Jews. That was the plan.
Oh boy. They're the father of the devil and the works of their father, they will do. We covet your prayers this weekend, okay? I mean it seriously. I mean it. And maybe next week, I'm going to get in a little bit more to the spiritual aspect of what they have told us were Indian mounds and the significance of them all across what would really be Midwestern America. And do not miss the connection between what's going on in the Midwest and the fresh water, the Great Lakes, the flowing of fresh water. I mean, I can't wait to I'll unveil some of this Monday. We're at the throat, folks. We're at the throat. And I happen to believe this. My theology is, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom's coming. His will's being done on earth. That's what I think is going on. I don't think the devil's winning. I think the devil's caused confusion. I don't think the devil's winning. I think the greatest outflowing of the Spirit of God is on the horizon. And I'm going to tell you this. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And most of them, the American church, is not praying nor believing for revival. Somebody help me out here. Most of the American church is praying and believing for evacuation. Not occupation. Evacuation. And God said, occupy till I come. And I believe the coming of Christ is near. At hand is what Jesus said 2,000 years ago. At hand, imminent, at any moment. Are we praying for that? Huh? Are we praying for revival? Are we believing for the kingdom of God coming and occupying? Are we believing for that? Remember that tells us in 2 Thessalonians, that because they rejected the truth, God will send a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. And I think part of that lie is, we ain't going to win. We're going to get out of here. Huh? I don't know. God bless you all. Thanks for hanging in there with me. And please, we covet your prayers. And maybe some of you out there, fast a meal. Fast for us, for what it is we're going to do, I believe it to be monumental spiritually, the undertaking we're getting ready to take part in. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.